Praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and begin in prayer. I have a few things I'd like to talk about. There's some things that were coming to me, and I just started jotting down some things that we need to be a trusting people. We need to be a trusting God people in a time of trouble. Or have an understanding, a spiritual understanding, a spiritual outlook on this life that we're just passing through. As believers in Jesus, we're just passing through. In the military, I was stationed here. My last duty station was St. Petersburg. But at times, they would assign me either to a ship across the way or they'd assign me to another location. And it was called TAD, Temporary Assignment Duty. And our homeland is with God in heaven. And all of us here that have come to saving faith in Jesus, we have now been given TAD assignment here on earth. We are temporarily on assigned duty here. We are to be the light of the world, representation of Jesus Christ. We're to live our lives to the fullness, to the glory of God, that whatever we do, eat, drink, what we think about, what comes out of our mouth, what we do with our body, we're to do it all in the name of Jesus, giving God glory. We're here for a short season. As I said last week, it says in James, I think it was James 4 that said it, that our when you think about life, you have to think about life as compared to eternity. And life compared to eternity, life here on earth as compared to eternity, it says it's just like I did last week, a vapor. There it goes. That's it. There's your life right there. Vapor and vaporized. So that we need to have that eternal perspective. We need to have that eternal vision. As you've heard me say this before, man was never intended to experience death. And we're praying for our sister here. Her precious husband Lenny has passed into eternity. It was very quick. What came over his body. And so when you remember Pamela, keep her in your prayers, encourage her. It happened very fast over a short period of time. And yet, when death happens, it catches us still by surprise. Sometimes we're not ready, nor do we want to get ready, nor do we even want to prepare for it. But if we would just take a moment, think back. Think, do you still have parents? Do you still have grandparents? Do you still have great-grandparents? And more than likely, to one of those three, the answer is no, I don't. I don't, except for our youngest one here. She has great-grandma here. Great, great, great. She's with great-grandma today. So we have an understanding that it's going to happen, and this life is going to end when our allotment of time is done here, however long that is. I've held a newborn baby in my hand and been right there at the hospital right after a 101-year-old person passed. So I've seen life from beginning to end. And yet God never intended for us to experience death. It was introduced as because of mankind's sin, Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, it was introduced to us, and we've had a hard time with it ever since. But we have to realize that it doesn't end with our last breath. Life continues. For the believer in Jesus, it continues in the presence of God forever. And that's what we have to make sure that we keep this, and that will help. That will help people from being fearful. That will help people to get a proper perspective when things like this occur within the world, that we don't ever have to be afraid, that God is with us, he will not forsake us, and that we have an understanding that God's word is the truth, and it's what I bank the entirety of my life upon. And so, Father God, I would just like to for you just to take the remaining moments here that we have, this time here this morning, and once again, help me communicate. If I find myself dipping in and out of prayer, it's just because I've been a lot in prayer lately. So, Father, just take these words that we're going to look at this morning and these passages of Scripture, Lord God, encourage our hearts, continue to build our faith, Lord God, that we are the light of the world. Just as you are the light of the world, Jesus, you left. And then you committed that responsibility to us. And we are surrounded by people with no hope, Lord. They're without hope in this world. The believers in Jesus are the ones who only have the true eternal hope, Lord God, that can be transmitted through the gospel to someone who's in need, Lord God, of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father, that we are a people, Lord God, that are looking to you, that are trusting you, and we will continue to do so. And if we happen to be lacking, if there's just that timidity that tries to get in there, or that fear that just tries to somehow enter in, we just ask, Lord God, that your word tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says that the people of God or the children of God are led by the Spirit of God, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit. We would listen to his counsel. We would listen to the word that he brings to our remembrance, that we would anchor our soul in what Jesus Christ has done and the truth that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us, Lord God, and to immediately shift, Lord God, from a place of timidity or fear to a place of faith, trust, and reliance upon you. So we thank you, Father, for these opportunities, Lord God, this time of opportunity. And if we have found ourselves to be, as these two pastors I mentioned earlier, if we find ourselves to be in a place, Lord, where we aren't as fully committed as we once were, if our love for you, Lord God, has grown cold in any area, we thank you, Father, that this situation here that has so gripped the hearts of so many people on this planet, I pray, Father, that your church, Father, would be sparked. I pray, Father, that your church, Lord God, would realize the brevity of time and realize that where they're at and where they need to be, and if necessary, which I do believe in so many hearts, it is necessary, where your word tells us in Romans that it's your goodness that leads people to repentance. And so we thank you, Father, for the work of the Holy Spirit that leads us to repentance, but it just doesn't leave us there in a place of needing repentance, but it also says, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, for the moving of your Holy Spirit all over this globe during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pick up these passages that we've been reading. I'm deviating from the subject that we've been looking at. We've been looking at a subject concerning the fire source, the Holy Spirit. And the first log that we looked at was the Word of God. And the second spiritual log that we looked at, or the fire log, was prayer. And, I mean, last week I introduced that subject. And what could be more fitting today than a call to prayer for everyone everywhere? But I want to I want you to hear these three passages of Scripture, these three Scriptures that the Apostle Paul told his son in the faith during a time of great calamity in the Church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 6, 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Do you believe today that you do not have a spirit of fear? But we've been saved and we've been filled with God's Spirit. Therefore, we have what? We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And as the result of that, verse 8, because we have tasted of God's goodness, because we're believers in Jesus, because the Spirit of God dwells within us, we will never be brought to a place, what Paul was encouraging his friend here, his son in the faith. He says, therefore, Timothy, do not be ashamed. Do not pull back. Do not turn your face away from the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. See, God has a purpose for every one of you. We've been called to God's purpose, and we're to live for that purpose. His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It was God's ordained place for us always to just be in this space and time, in this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and to live for God's purposes as we're here on this planet before going home. Now, I got two visuals this morning. I just went into the end of intercessory prayer when the singers went in, and as they were praying over the praise and worship team, I got two pictures that come from Matthew chapter 8. The first picture I got was a leper. And you know that in Bible times, a leper was not to get in certain distance of people. When they were coming amongst people, they were supposed to be what? Saying, unclean, unclean. They were supposed to broadcast their uncleanness or their contamination. We have something very similar that we actually people are even being told not to go among people because of what they may have. And if they do, they're to take precautions or they're supposed to wear a mask or something, indicating I'm contaminated with this and to keep your distance. But there was something that has taken place with this leper that he went against protocol. There was something that happened within him that he began hearing about a Jesus. He began hearing about this man, this miracle worker, this guy that was impacting people's lives, and something had lodged deep within inside of him, a belief. Remember, the Word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He was hearing so much testimony about this Jesus, about this, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one? Could this be the promised one? And hearing so much about Jesus that instead of calling out unclean, instead of taking the necessary precautions, he did what he needed to do to get to Jesus. He needed to get to Jesus. And, you know, and Jesus was just asking him, let me just see if I can find this real quick. I thought I put a marker in here. Yes, it's in Matthew 8, verse 1. It says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, a leper came. A leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, he knew the ability that Jesus had. He knew that what he had, he could be completely cleansed or healed from. He knew that there was a power, that there was a life force, that there was an ability that Jesus Christ himself possessed. And I believe that all of us as the Church of Jesus Christ, our faith needs to grow in the ability of Jesus. Our faith needs to be a whole lot more stoked than it is right now. And that's why we're looking at this subject, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire source of God. We're looking at these various logs, these nine logs that I believe that God wants to renew within us again. And so that there comes a place and time in our walk with the Lord, if we see that we are leprous or spiritually unclean in any area of our life, it could be laziness, it could be pride. Well, whatever that which is eating at us, that which is eating at us or trying to remove our life or take us away from the life that God has for us, do you not believe that the Holy Spirit can bring that to your remembrance? And can he not also build your faith? Can he not also bring God's word to your remembrance? Can he not also teach you what Scripture has to say? Can he not also cause you to come to a place where, I don't have to put up with this anymore. I don't have to tolerate this anymore. I'm going to get to Jesus. And there's something that happened. There was something that happened within this man. He had heard enough. He had heard enough where his faith was built to approach Jesus without having to say, I'm unclean, without having to yell so that everybody would get out of the way. He came and worshiped. He came and worshiped. The next fire log after prayer is going to be the subject of worship. And we're going to take some time and look at the subject of worship. And what does God's word mean by worship? What did Jesus mean by the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth? And get a clear understanding what Scripture, especially New Testament Scripture, says concerning the word worship as a lifestyle lived before God. And so he comes to Jesus and he begins to worship him, and he just simply says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, see, an understanding that we have to change from knowing God's willingness and knowing God's ability. A lot of people say, I know that God is able, but a lot of people will not confess that God is willing and willing to do so on my part. We all will speak of the ability of God for someone else. Well, I know God can. I know God did. I know I can read what Jesus did, but do we have an understanding of the willingness of God to act on your behalf? And I, like I'm saying, I believe a lot of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, need to have our trust and confidence in God built more than what it is right now. Built more than what it is right now. Amen? I'm putting myself at the front of the line, folks. Because Jesus said, I am willing. I am willing. So Jesus is revealing his purpose. Jesus is revealing not just an ability, but a demonstration. And if that was true, no, it was true back then. So why at times is there such a disconnect in the present church of Jesus Christ? And I'm asking myself those same questions. And I believe that it's causing a lot of us to ask questions. Present circumstances gives us an opportunity to examine our faith, examine our spirituality, examine if we're carnal, if we're spiritually maturing, if we've halted, or if we're sliding back, or if we're just on a treadmill, you know, putting a lot of effort forward but going nowhere. So the Lord is wanting to speak this and also have an understanding that no matter the spiritual condition, no matter the mental condition, no matter the physical condition, that there's an approach that we can have before the Lord and understand the Father heart of God, the willingness of God to act and respond on our behalf, a willingness for Him to act and respond on our behalf. So as I was looking at this and pondering this after prayer and before walking in here, I went into a little room by myself. Will I spend the necessary time to have this developed in my life? Will we do that? Or will we just, you know, after a few months pass and it's all gone, just go back to living life like we did? Or will this be cause a wonderful, wonderful spiritual change within our life to cause us to be more passionate, more fervent, hungering more for the things of God than we have? Because, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. The other picture was later on. I think it's the next page here in my Bible. Starting at verse 23, when Jesus told his disciples about going to the other side, about following Jesus and knowing that Jesus was going to go from this seashore to another seashore, but they had no idea about a storm in between, and a great tempest arose, and the disciples got afraid. Everything was fine. And if you read the different Gospels on this, matter of fact, for something to be written once, it does get our attention. For something to be written twice or to have a law of witness, it really should get our attention. But it's recorded in all three Gospels, or three of the four Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you get a fuller picture when you look at everything concerning Jesus calming this storm. One thing we have to realize, that this faith journey that we're on, as that paper that I passed out to, the very first scripture reference is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want every one of you here as believers in Jesus to know that your faith had a beginning. Your faith had a day when you bowed your knee and you repented of your sins and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and became a child of God through a saving faith. Jesus is the author of that day of your salvation. Jesus was the author of it 2,000 years ago, but he was an author of it when it happened to you personally. And an understanding that we all have to get that what started then, Jesus promises, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he's going to finish what he started. But your faith has to be in what Jesus began. He's going to take it to a place of completion. But we take it back to this storm picture here, to this one seashore to the next. We can look at that from growing from immaturity to spiritual maturity. We can look at it as something that God's teaching us, that he's going to bring us from this place to this place. We can look at it as going from a place of believing on Jesus unto the spiritual Holy Spirit baptism. Or we can take this from a place of just kind of knowing about what God's word is and then learning something that God wants to teach us about his word and experiencing the promise of it or the promised land of it. We can also look at this at the beginning of our faith journey and our salvation and the rest of our life until we're called home. There's many different applications that we can look at one seashore to the next seashore. But I'm here to tell you that there will be storms in between. There will be ups and downs. Life is not just always just going to be just always smooth. But Jesus, he came, he walked this life, he lived this life, he knows what you face. It says he's a sympathetic high priest. He's able to identify with everything that you face or go through in the human experience. Jesus understands that. And so Jesus had such a trust and such a faith and such a confidence in what he was called here to do that in the midst of the storm, he was asleep. Don't you care that we perish? Get up, wake up, do something, Jesus. I mean, they were like freaking out. Aren't we seeing some people freaking out? God, do something. What's going on here? Don't you care about this thing going everywhere, Lord? I'm talking church people, not just people. And Jesus is like, where's your faith? Boing. I mean, when you read all three of these accounts, but he just puts it right back in their lap. In other words, we can be at peace just as much as Jesus was at peace. Now, let me ask you this. When we came to know the Lord, when we came to know the Lord, let me get the right order here. When we came to know the Lord, we have experienced peace with God. In other words, we were separated by our sins and we did not have peace with God. You believed in Jesus, you now possess peace with God. At the same time, you receive the peace of God. And even in a greater measure, when you allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your life, Jesus even refers to, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. There's a supernatural peace that every one of us have. But you also have to remember that we live in an unpeaceful world. We live in sometimes a very conflicting world. And at times we know what God's word says. I know I'm at peace with God. I have received the peace of God. But circumstances can jar or try to jar our peace. That's when we have a choice where we're going to dip in at. When the storm of life comes, we see Jesus sleeping. Move over. You got a spot for me? Are we able to get to a place of peace? Like he brought a pillow. Can I have half the pillow? Well, one of the Gospels said he brought a pillow. He knew he was going to go to sleep. Say, is there an understanding that we have that even though that because storms occur, because problems occur, because things in life happen, can we still have an abiding peace on the inside and maintain a position of faith in God? You see, people of the world are looking. They're looking for people, do you have stability? Is what you have about this Jesus, a lot of people may know that you're a Christian, but how do they see you as a Christian today? How do they see your response today? Is there a view of you possessing the God of all hope? You possessing a trust, reliance, and confidence upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a complete and total assurance that you have that God is in control and he's in control of my life and it shows? See, there should be an understanding, like I told you earlier from Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when I'm saying that, I had this picture this morning from one seashore to the next and the storm in between. We can have multiple storms in between. But I know where my salvation began and I know where I'm headed. And I know that Jesus is with me by the Holy Spirit within my life. And he knows everything I'm going to face and everything I'm going to go through. He knows everything that's going to happen here on this planet. And we get a picture, if Jesus can be asleep or at peace in the storm, then when this world or circumstance or situations try to rock your boat, and a lot of people's boats are being rocked, that you can have peace. You see, I just briefly saw these two pictures this morning. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And if he does, and he will, rebuke me of a lack of faith, it's just to show me that something still needs to be developed. The rebuking of a lack of faith or not having faith is so that it can be exposed and you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. It can grow. It can be increased. It can be developed. And so if something tries to grip us I went to the grocery store the other day. I just wanted to buy some rice and lentils. And man, it looked like people must have went through there. Things were thrown. Things were tipped over, what was left. And I saw this one couple in front of me. Their grocery basket was so stacked with all this kind of comfort food. I mean, potato chips SpaghettiOs and all this type of food. I mean, it's like they're going to have a Corona watch party. Coronavirus. I'm looking at it going, I'm trying to look for the nutrition there. It's almost like a panic probably hit them. And they just, a lot of times when people eat, it brings them comfort. And that's why it's called comfort food. And they had their basket full of all this comfort food. They're afraid. I mean, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning, 12 o'clock in the noon, 4 o'clock, got to get the earliest of the early news, all the way till the end at 7. Wait a second, there's one from 7 to 8 also. Oh, in just a couple more hours, I'll get another update at 10. I know the 10 o'clock one. And if I miss the 10 o'clock one, 11 o'clock one, oh, there's a replay of it at 12 at this one channel. Oh, yeah. And because people get so worked up, stay tuned for the latest update. They had this music playing. Oh, okay, we got to watch the latest update. You know, even the music that they put with it. We're here to report today. The situation is very serious. And you do well to listen to what we have to say. I need to stay calm. This one guy was even telling himself to stay calm. You know, he got a little flustered as he was saying it. You could probably see the people like behind him. You're supposed to be neutral. Calm down. Don't let your emotions show. See, we laugh at some of these things, but it does really grab hold of people. It grabs hold of a lot of people. I'm not making a little fun, but people are really afraid. And they need to see the people of faith being filled with faith. Amen. They need to know that the Jesus you believe in is the Jesus you're trusting in. And at times you may say, well, you're putting a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, Pastor. I love Jesus. Amen. I love Jesus. And if I need to change an area, I'm going to change. If I need to grow in an area, I'm going to grow. I love Jesus. I've been sharing Jesus. I've been talking to people about Jesus since I got saved in 1977. And I'll continue to do it. I'll continue to share Jesus till my last breath. I just love sharing what the Lord's doing. And even at a time like this, well, remember back in 2000, I ended up at the VA hospital. And there I am at the VA hospital, Bay Pines, because I was full of pride. I went to a family reunion down in Puerto Rico on the Rodriguez side of the family. And there used to be a buoy I used to swim out to in my teens. And I didn't see anybody in the water. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go swim out to that buoy. Pride. Okay, let's see. That was when I'm 60. I was in my 40s. I'm going to go swim out to that buoy. All of a sudden, on the way out there, man-o-war jellyfish were wrapped around my head, wrapped around my waist, wrapped around my leg. And, you know. And I was like, oh, forget swimming out to this buoy. And then I started swimming back, and guess what? I went right through that same whole thing of them, and it all started again. 2 days later, it looked like I was fighting Muhammad Ali and lost. I mean, I was all swelled up here, and my belly was swelled up, my leg was swelled up. And I told Chris, we're still on vacation, and we're going to continue to go places. So I took like 6 Benadryl, and all that did, it just brought it down just a little bit. So we're going sightseeing. And I look like I need to be in the hospital, and people are looking at me. I was like, oh, we are going out. I didn't think they were going to let me on the airplane when I came back here. And I was one of these people. I did not want to go be seen by a doctor. How many of you are like that? And so I took a magic marker. And this leg here was the worst. I mean, it looked like there were 2 legs wrapped together. They looked, you know, one. That's how thick it was. Honey, when it gets up to here, I'll go be seen. Well, it got up to there. Well, when it gets up to here, I'll go. Pride. Deanna's not here, but Deanna came over. My sister-in-law came over. Better deal with that pride. I know you're my pastor, but you're my brother-in-law, and I love you, and you better go be seen right now. I got to the VA hospital. They took one leg, and they immediately admitted me. It was a very, back then in 2000, MRSA wasn't very popular as a word, but it was a staph infection, MRSA. And it got into my bone. Long story short, they were talking about taking my leg off from the knee down. They went in and took some grafts, or what do they call that when they go in there? Biopsies. And you talk about when somebody gives you a report of, like, off here at the knee, and I started having all these weird dreams about missing a leg, getting up and falling down, and, you know, because you think the leg's there and it's not. I'm sitting there, I'm laying there in that hospital bed, and something kicked in. Something kicked in that hadn't kicked in a long time. I just began looking at that leg and started speaking to it. And the antibiotics they were giving me weren't working, so they threw in some other ones. It was called naftacillin. The name for it that is among the doctors and nurses is called nasticillin, because it burns. And they're putting it in me. They were supposed to put a port in, and they forgot. And so they're putting it intravenously instead of a port, and it was blowing out my vein. I mean, they were just, all the stuff was pooling underneath there. Oh, there's something wrong here. Oh, quit your whining. Something happened. I started speaking to my leg. This leg will not be cut off. I do not believe it's God's will for me to lose this leg from the knee down. And so if it's going to take this to work, this naftacillin, or you're going to do it, I will keep my leg. It will not be cut off. Something happened. And I think there's something happening in people's lives. 10 days later, I was discharged, and this is a real leg here. It's not a prosthesis. It's a real thing. But something happened, and something can happen, and we should not have to wait until a circumstance or situation, a jellyfish, man of war, whatever it was called, wrapping around your bodies. And now Deanna comes in. I was talking about you, Deanna. Oh, yeah, you're telling you about you getting in my face and telling me to go down to the hospital and have my leg looked at. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Christine had to call her because I wouldn't listen to my wife. So, did it have to come to that? No, it didn't have to come to that. Wasn't there something that probably God was trying to get my attention before I put my first foot in the water? And to swim out to a buoy that, well, back in my teens, I used to swim out to. The funny thing was, I didn't ask anybody why there wasn't anybody in the water. I found out afterwards, it's jellyfish season. We don't go swimming now. But see, all the signs were there, but I didn't want to pay any attention to the signs because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I wanted people to see what I was doing. God has a wonderful way of allowing pride to be deflated. And I was completely deflated. And I was like, Lord, don't let me be stupid anymore. I don't want to be stupid. I want to have a closer relationship and fellowship with you, that my faith is a demonstration of a life that's lived as one with you, as being connected with you, Lord God. And so there, some people may be pride. Some people, it may be fear. There may be all kinds of things as to what people are experiencing right now. But the Word of God is true. The Word of God is faithful. That God is still God. Or we can put our trust and our reliance and our dependence upon Him. Amen? That even like Jesus did with those guys in the boat, even though their faith wasn't where it needed to be, He told them it wasn't where it needed to be to encourage them. It can get to where it needs to be. And that's what every one of us need to make sure today, that if your faith needs to be developed, it can. Just got to take personal responsibility and don't let fear grip your heart. But like me, laying there on that hospital bed, speaking the Word of God over my foot and saying, I will keep this leg, or not foot, this leg. I will keep this leg. And this whole situation has to turn around. So even if you find yourself ill, okay, and not well, continue speaking the Word of God. Continue speaking the Word of God over you. We are praying and believing that it stops, that none of us will be impacted. But if there is that chance that a person, do not give up, do not throw away your faith. If you have to be like me, laying there, speak the Word of God. Cause it to be strengthened. Cause your faith in God to be strengthened. And that spirit of infirmity, go ahead and grab that scripture that we have in that little booklet there. I thank you, Jesus, that you have secured for me to be free of this. Therefore, spirit, virus, unseen thing that doesn't, you are an illegal entity operating within my body. Get out in Jesus' name. Die. Amen. When I was given a diagnosis of losing my leg, and that they're coming in shaking, well, the anesthesiologist is going to come. I said, I'm not going to see an anesthesiologist. You're not putting me under. I am not going to an operating room. So that's just it. Forget it. Something happens on the inside. Something grabs hold of you that you will not budge. You will not move because there's something of God that has been made alive and real with inside of you. Amen? And these are some places that the Lord wants people to get during this time. As it says here in Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I apply my will to have my trust, reliance, and dependence upon God because he is my shield, the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. And this is the truth that I've experienced and you can experience also. Because we live the first part, verse 3 becomes our reality. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Period. You have to have the truth of verses 1 and 2 to have the reality of verse 3. And if it takes time for you to understand verses 1 and 2 and what all that means and looking it up and making sure it's a reality within you, taking passages like that, cross-referencing them to allow God to become so much greater within you. Oh, does the New Testament say that? We can quote a scripture from 1 John 4:4, but do we know the scripture of 1 John 4:4? You are of God, little children. In other words, you're born of God. You've come to saving faith in Jesus. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. All the false stuff that's within this world, especially false teaching and the verses above it, that's what's trying to infiltrate your faith. You have overcome them. Why? Because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can quote that. Most of the time we just quote the last part of it. But is it real to you? Do you really believe the greater one, greater than any circumstance or situation, greater than what's taking place in this world, greater than COVID-19? Do you really believe that God is greater? And if your answer is yes, then do you believe that the greater one lives in you? And if your answer is yes, then do you believe then the one who is greater and the greater one living within you is able to keep you safe, secure? Even if you happen to experience through the storm to the other side. Some people say, well, Pastor, you know, some of the articles I read that even church people died. Well, hallelujah. What do you mean, hallelujah? They graduated and went home. Okay? That's why we have to get a picture. We have to get a picture today on our view of life. What is your view of life? Do you live life? Are you a camper? Are you a camper? And you're looking at me like, camper. Life is like camping. A tent, pop-up trailer, it's all temporary. The body, Paul calls this body in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a tent. And it says there's a groaning that is within ourselves to be further clothed. Well, what do you mean further clothed? I am clothed. I got on this body. No, right now this body is keeping me from being further clothed or further, I am not in the immediate presence of God, though I've got God's presence with me. So the Apostle Paul is saying that when this body drops off, I'm going to be further clothed. Okay? And that means in his presence, because it says that to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so many of us are sight-driven, and more sight-driven or carnally-minded or sense-minded of the five senses than we are to the spiritual reality that life continues. Life continues. So you're here camping for a while. Okay, some of you live longer one place than you do in another, but if you look at the spiritual aspect of it, we're just here, when I say camping, temporary housing right now. And we need to keep that eternal perspective in mind when things are going on like this. Yes, we're grieved when somebody departs ahead of time, or when we're not ready for them to depart. Man, I know, man, I didn't realize that how deep grieving could be till you lose someone real close to you. But at the same time, that he is the God of my grief. He is the one who's given me hope. I know where my future is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to have an understanding. Let me just see if I can, here. I'm going to have to close up here. And I just want you to get a perspective here. Maybe I can read from 2 Corinthians 5. I'll begin with verse 1 here. For we know that our earthly house, hello earthly house, this body, how's your earthly house today? This tent, we know that this, if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed or it dies, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. I don't hear too many people groaning earnestly about going home to be with Jesus, but it says so here. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, not because that we're looking forward to, you know, this body dying, but to have an understanding that when it does happen, we're going to be further clothed. That mortality may be swallowed by life. And see, this is the understanding that all of us need to have here. This is the hope that each and every one of us need to have. There are people walking on this planet. They don't believe in God. They say there's no God. If there is a God, can we ever get to know this God? There's all these different belief systems that people have, whether it be evolution, whether it be Mother Earth, whether it be the universe. I've come across so many mixed up people. My answer is still the same. One way, one truth, one life, it's through Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. Well, you still need to hear what I have to say, because if I don't deposit it in them, then God doesn't have anything to work with inside their life. So just be quiet for a minute. Let me share it with you about Jesus. I say it in a nicer way, but... because I know the Holy Spirit needs something to work with. It says, verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. It's okay. You know what? I like living here. I like living here. Do you like living here? Yeah, we should like living here. We don't like what's going on right now. But it says we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are confident. Yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And see, that's an understanding all of us need to have. And most of you may not even realize that when you read in Hebrews chapter 11, starting, I think it's with Abraham, and going down a few verses, it even speaks that he knew that he was, I mean, way back in the Old Testament, Abraham, before Moses, before the law, he's just a guy out there that God has called, living in the desert, being taken to this place, which would eventually be called the Promised Land or the Land of Promise, living there in tents, it says. It says that they were living there in tents. He had an understanding thousands of years ago about an eternal habitation, about an eternal city. He had an understanding back then. This place that we're living here, it's Promised Land. It's got all this stuff. It has everything we need. But man, I can't wait to get home to that city of God. Even he had an understanding that this was just all temporary, and God has so much better for us. And why am I saying this today? Because we all need to have a greater eternal perspective than we do right now. Why? I'm going to close with these two passages. Well, a passage, I got to be careful what I say here. In Ephesians, I want you to hear what you were like and what most of the people in the world are like right now. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. It says in chapter 2, beginneth verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So what were we? We were dead because of sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, just like everybody else is doing now outside of Jesus. According to who? What influence were we under? The prince of the power of the air. What was operating within us? The spirit who now works in the sons or children of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's why we needed to be born again, born of God, were by nature children of wrath, just as others. And I want to flip over here to verse 11. Now therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision, which is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, the last one, and without God in the world. That is the condition of every person you know that's outside of Jesus Christ, that doesn't know Jesus. This is their eternal condition. Without hope, without God. Without hope, without God. But what does it tell us about our condition? It tells us our condition down here. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Jesus himself is your peace today. So you now have hope. You are now with God. You now have the peace of God dwelling within you. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. It says, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, or that which we read that condemned us in ordinances, so to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Do you believe today, this morning, right now, that you have peace with God? Do you believe that that peace is working well with inside your heart and with inside your life right now? Do you believe that Jesus has made a way? And do you also believe that God knew that we would be here in such a time as this? That God knew that if fear was within us, he knew that it would come to surface so that we could deal with it and put our faith and trust and reliance back where it needs to be. That if we have found ourselves kind of coasting through our spiritual life, that God knows how to kickstart your spiritual life and get it back where it needs to be. That I believe that a time like this, and this call today for prayer, this call today for believing God, a spiritual awakening is needed in the United States. Matter of fact, it's needed around the world. I truly believe that there is coming, as Pastor Carter Conlon says at Times Square Church, one more time. There's going to be another move of God. This, as we know from the feast season or the feast of the Lord, the very final feast of the feast of the Lord, that grouping of the final feast is the blowing of trumpets, is the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles. And during that time is where they brought in the fruit harvest. And it is the final harvest. I believe that there's going to be a final harvest before the trumpet is sounded, before Jesus receives the reward of his sacrifice, and we tabernacle with God forever. There's going to be a final harvest that's going to take place. And we have to realize that we can be part of that. And when people are fearful, and they have no hope, and they're without God in this present world, you can be the one that is full of faith, demonstrating the love of God that you have received, and giving the hope that now possesses your life, and sharing with them a confident trust and reliance that you have upon God that they need. And if someone was to come and ask you, what is this hope within you? We're told in Peter that we should be ready to give a defense or a response to the hope that we have within us. And people are in need of hope. And we know that the anchor of our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who has given us the hope of what we know that we're going to partake of when we breathe our last breath. And so you have to have this understanding. You have to have this assurance. And if there's anybody here today, if there's anybody here today that you are not where you need to be, if you are timid, if you are afraid, then get prayer. But you can just go ahead and even acknowledge it right now. Lord God, I this has really been bugging me, and I've allowed fear, an unhealthy fear, not just a concern, but an unhealthy fear that grips you. That every waking moment, you got to see what's going on. It consumes you more than anything else in life. And so many people have such a high anxiety right now. That it is gripping them more than anything else, that they're not even able to function properly. The Bible gives us the remedy in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. It starts out, Paul saying this, rejoice in the Lord always. There's a joy within you. The rejoice is to stir it up because the joy of Jesus is within you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he emphasized it. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your self-control be made known unto all men. Let the self-control, let your God-gripped person that you are, gripped by God, let it be shown. Let it be demonstrated that you are a God-gripped person. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Then it says, if that doesn't fix it, the next verse tells us what? Be anxious for what? Be anxious or stressed out or worried about nothing. Jesus actually told us in Matthew 6, verse 25, don't worry about your life. Have an eternal perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God. Change the perspective from life to kingdom, from this natural life to kingdom life. That's all Jesus is saying. You need a perspective change. Get it off the natural, get it on the spiritual. Be anxious for nothing. But what does it say here? Oh, I'll go ahead and just read it. But in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This whole group of passages here, this is my mainstay, because it says after this, when you have done it biblically and according to God's word, the next verse tells you what descends upon you, what actually shows up within your life. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, woo-hoo, right here, between your ears, all that thinking, all that concern, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through having a new, fresh revelation of who Christ Jesus is. To know that he is Lord of all, that he is the way maker, that he is the one in charge of your life. So, Father God, right now, as a people of faith in you, as a community of believers here right now, gathered this morning under the lordship of Jesus Christ, gathering right now under the sovereignty of our King, our sovereign and King, we acknowledge you, Jesus, as Lord over all. The scripture plainly declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This entire planet, this universe, this whole thing all belongs to you, and you're Lord over it. And we thank you, Father, that as a people on this spinning globe, out in space, that it is actually, out of the entire universe, the apple of your eye. It is where your headquarters are. It is where you look, Lord God. It is the people made in your image and your likeness, Lord God. We, all of us here. But you know that there needs to be so many others to be a part of your family, Lord God. And so we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we acknowledge today the lordship of Jesus over COVID-19, coronavirus. We acknowledge that you are in control of all things. We thank you, Father, that this has an end and an imminent end, an immediate end, Lord God. That we thank you, Father, that if it was to touch us, we pray, Father, that it dies immediately in the name of Jesus and bears no fruit within our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you would cause our faith. If there's anyone here this morning that haven't been as fervent in their walk with you as they should be, if they've let their love with you become second place, Lord God, or the back burner, or, Lord God, that they find themselves in a little bit too much of timidity and fear of what's going on, that this is an awakening call, Lord God, to spiritual conditions within our, inside of our lives, that all we have to do is hear the words of Jesus in a storm. Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? In other words, Lord God, I return to you. Help me, Lord. Develop my faith in you in a greater measure than where it's at right now. As that father said to Jesus so many years ago, when you said, do you believe that I can do this? Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We are believers today. Help us where we're coming up short, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, and we will rise to the occasion. We will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We will do, Lord God, what you speak to us, Lord God. We will follow you, Lord God, because you promise to get us out of this storm to where you want us to be. And so we look to you right now. So, Father, right now, anybody here that's anxious, if you're anxious right now, just release that anxiety to the Lord. If you're fearful or timid about this right now, or if you hear a person cough and they didn't happen to cough in their elbow and you like bolt out of there. Just, you know that there's something going on with inside you right then. And if anything like that is within you right now, it says, oh, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer. And prayer, true prayer, is going to acknowledge the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ over whatever it is you're stressed out about, whatever's bringing that fear. That you know that Jesus Christ on the cross, that everything was laid upon him, all sickness, all disease, all viruses, all cancers, everything was laid upon Jesus, and he has made a way for you. Amen? And so we thank you, Father, that we just come before you right now through prayer. And we're very specific, our supplications are very specific. There's united prayer today, Lord God, in congregations all over the United States, if not all over the world, Lord God, looking to you that we say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that this COVID-19, this coronavirus, for it to stop and desist right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for its complete annihilation, Lord. I even want to go one step further. There are rogue nations, Lord God, that have these viruses and have these diseases, that they're trying to mechanize them, Lord God, for their actions to be halted, their actions to be stopped, Lord God. Let them be exposed. Let it be brought to the light, Lord God, what they're doing in secret, Lord God. Let it be shouted from the housetop so they won't develop these kinds of things, Lord God. They will not mechanize these kinds of things. But if it happens to get out, purposely or carelessly, you are still Lord Jesus. You still secured the healing for all of us, Lord. And I pray, Father, for the people of faith right now, for the people that are looking to you, Lord God, right now, that you would help them release all their fear, that they would let it go. As you told Joshua so many years ago, don't be afraid. I'm always with you. Wherever you go. And just let the truth of your presence within our life take possession and cast out fear. Let each of us be more perfected in your love, because it says perfect love casts out fear. Let us get a great revelation of the supreme love that you have for us, Jesus, and walk by faith and love. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that as we see this time progress, Lord God, all of a sudden, we're going to see the numbers go in the opposite direction. We're going to see all these people recovering, Lord God, instead of not recovering. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. A short prayer, a simple prayer, a faith-based prayer that you are Lord. This must stop and desist, as all other ones throughout history have, and be gone. In Jesus' name. Now we expect your peace, Lord God, to come upon your people, and we would be instruments. We would be peace makers, Lord God, that we would allow the peace that you've placed with inside of our heart to be shared with others who have no peace, Lord God, and show them the way of salvation, that we've tasted of and experienced through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for keeping our heart and our minds surrounded in your peace, Lord God. For we are at one with you, and you are one with us. And therefore, we do not fear, but we walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.